Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
I got Meller in there, who's a really smart football guy, telling me, seriously, he wants Poles to draft the Iowa punter in the third round.
In the third round?
Yes.
But the next pick, I mean, they don't have.
That is their next pick. They don't have a second.
Draft a punter when you're never going to punt.
That was my point.
It's a good counterpoint. I'll give you guys that.
This cat is painting his face for the draft and wants the Iowa punter.
Yeah, we've turned it around now.
We're spending too much time with Lynch.
My God.
Look, at the very least, we're going for it on fourth down, and they're deep in their territory.
That is honestly.
Or kick and field, Cairo Santos' long field goal.
You guys have seen the Eberflus coach. He can't make up his mind on fourth down what he wants to do. He might punt half the time.
Wow. We're not going three and out anymore.
I agree with you on that. But
you're careening from guardrail to guardrail.
Taylor is a weapon, my friends.
If you move up to draft a punter, then I may do something irrational.
Nobody's saying to move up, but if he falls to you at 75.
No, we're not punting anymore.
I am not drafting a punter in the third round.
It's a good thing you're not running the Bears. It's a good thing I got a guy who knows what he's doing up at Hall as Hell, not you.
You don't even know where he's at. You said Hall as How.
Exactly.
Where is that?
I'm drunk on
where
Bears.
Where is that?
I love that Hall as How.
Hall as How. You know, the guy up at Hall as How probably would draft a punter. But my guy up at Hall as How is not going to do that.
Hall as How has a good ring to it.
With the 122nd pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, our Chicago Bears select Tory Taylor, punter. Oh, yeah. Iowa.
122 took Tory Taylor, punter out of Iowa. Really excited about Tory, one of the best punters I've ever seen, just in terms of his placement, as well as his leg strength to be able to flip the field.
How about that? I mean, we were all over that. We were your home for talking punters on Friday, going into the weekend activities. First into the third round, and then it happened in the fourth round.
I feel with as aggressive as I got on Friday about this, I would just like to allow Jeff Meller to take his victory lap right now and express how great he feels about what the Bears did on Saturday.
Not going to lie, went home on Friday night after my good friends were berating me all afternoon. I was a little disappointed and was a little dejected. Friday night going to bed with Tory Taylor still on the board.
Did you cry your head?
No. But, you know, I was just a little downtrodden. And then sure enough, Saturday afternoon, it was like Christmas morning, my friends. Ryan Poles, when you thought he couldn't do any better, he went out. And then Saturday afternoon, I wanted him in the third round. Value pick, Ryan Poles, the master class. Oh, it was a beautiful thing, boys.
So what? It was Tyler, I think you texted the group, right?
I thought he was joking.
Because I wasn't watching the fourth round at that point.
Either.
I was just getting, I knew that when the Bears were close to being on the board or having their draft pick ready, then I would go like on Twitter to see who it was. And you texted us, and I could not believe that it was true.
Yeah, I was out and about, and then I was on Twitter, and I saw, I was like, there's no way. This is too perfect.
When I knew it was legit, I laughed my ass off.
The only thing that was somewhat disappointing was I was watching it live, and so Tyler actually broke the news to me.
He scooped the TV.
I was waiting.
Oh, yeah.
I was hoping against hope that maybe, just maybe, it would come to fruition, and then sure enough.
How did you respond when you saw?
I mean,
saw the text.
I was slightly disappointed because I was waiting for it. And then sure enough, though, the delivery from the UK International Bears Fan of the Year was also beautiful. So you can't, it was just a beautiful Saturday the rest of the day. That's the way I put it, man.
Rich Eisen had a good description, which we'll play a little bit later. But if you want to, whether it's about the punter, like Carmen Yerk weren't here for punter talk. I am, I think, quite frankly. I'll lean into it. Like, whether you hate it or you love it, and judging by the poll question, you guys love it. I don't think there's many moves right now that Ryan Poles can make that you guys wouldn't like.
Tory Taylor is a weapon.
Who is that? Is that, Baldy?
Is that McAfee?
Oh, that's McAfee.
That was from back, you know, during the college season a few years ago when he was dropping punts inside the five with a
field
great
position wins you games. Tory Taylor wins you games.
Who was that?
That's Pat McAfee.
Oh, that was McAfee.
Field position wins you game. Tory Taylor wins you games.
I thought his new quarterback, his new teammate, had the best response. Hey, welcome, but we're not going to be asking you to punt very often.
Caleb Williams said that in a text.
Is great. Go 3 for 3. 3 punts inside the five.
Look.
Setting your defense up for a pick six or a safety.
It's not what I would have done, but I'm not running the team. I would have preferred they did something else, obviously. I made myself clear on Friday. But I've also said I'm going to ride with Ryan Poles. I wish they would have used that pick on a pass rusher or an offensive lineman or somebody else that might have a greater impact over the course of a game and play more often. But look, there's no question he was the best punter in college football. You got the best player at his position with your fourth round pick.
Would you rather have Tyler Scott or a punter who can pin a team consistently inside the five?
I'd rather have a wide receiver that could contribute more than Tyler Scott did.
Right, I know. Like, the point is we know that it is in a fourth round that it's what? What are the percentages of a fourth round pick hitting?
I don't know what the exact percentages are.
What would you guess? Like, they say like end of the first round, right? The end of the first round is probably 50-50, right?
Right. By hitting, are you talking like just make the team and contribute or being a starter?
I don't know.
So, I mean, look, if you can get a fourth round guy who has a rookie would have contributed more than Tyler Scott did, I would say definitely I would take a wide receiver in the fourth round, somebody that can come in and give you 35, 40 catches and play 35% of the plays.
Listen, I'll admit, though, he has to hit. Like, right. Ryan Poles needs to be correct about it, but
he has to be the top punter and what McAfee said, a weapon. And in the limited time, like, if they are punting less, the times that they are when they, like, when they do have to punt, like, from the 50 or from the, like, their own 45, it's not about, I heard Yurko talking about the gross punting yards. It's not about basically that stat. It's about how many times he can pin them within the 10. Can he consist, because their last guy sucked at that. And with this defense that forces turnovers, can you pin them within the 10 and then force another turnover and maybe get a pick six? Can Jalen Johnson run it back for a touchdown or flip the field where then your defense holds right away, forces a 3-and-out, and then you take the ball over in great field position with the great offense, and now all of a sudden they only have to go 45 yards for a touchdown. Do you know what I mean? It's like bizarro Devin Hester. I'm not telling you that this is the greatest draft pick ever. I'm telling you the reasons why they're thinking this could be a really good thing. It's a game of field position. Football's always been a game of field position. So just like Devin Hester set you up with good field position from an offensive standpoint, this guy's going to do the exact same thing from a defensive standpoint. He's going to set your defense up by flipping the field, and now your good defense is going to have to hold them.
I hope so.
And in tune with that, if the defense does its job, Caleb Williams gets the ball back in better field position in those situations as well.
That's what I'm saying. Flip it and he gets the ball at the 50, and now they only have to go 50 or 45 yards to score.
I totally understand the explanation for the necessity for field position. Could you have found somebody maybe in the seventh round or as a free agent and not used a fourth rounder on a punter is the only question. My concern is his leg's going to fall off. He's 26 and he punted 93 times last year for Iowa.
Has
93 punts last year.
Has a pitcher has a leg ever gone bad?
Like you need a ligament replacement.
Is there a Tommy John surgery for a leg?
Know. Yeah, I don't know.
I doubt it because we'd probably know the name of the first athlete. It'd be called the Chris Gardocki surgery or
Where
something.
Where was he drafted, by the way? Wasn't he a second?
No, that was Todd Sauerbrunn. I was around for that. I think Gardocki was fourth rounder, probably.
We've hit on it. That's the true reason that Waddle is scarred because he remembers. He was on the team when the Bears selected Todd Sauerbrunn, and things went awry.
Okay, so what is he was picked?
What's Yurko's reason then?
Well, listen, I think Yurko gets upset that punters and kickers probably have a role that is outsized for his liking in the NFL. And that's fair. I think Larry David is the one who's leading the petition.
Larry David from
yes, from Curb Your Enthusiasm. Curb? He's been adamant
Larry David would be quoted today.
He's been adamant that kickers should not decide football games. That's fine. I think a lot of people feel that way. But until the rules are changed and you get Roger Goodell and the NFL owners to change that, they do have an outsized import to the game of football. And so you know what? If it's going to decide games, I want the best possible guys doing it for my football team.
There's a good chance that somebody who plays offense or defense can have just as much or a larger impact on a game over the course of four quarters. Look,
but it's harder to find those guys in the fourth round. You know who those guys are in the top 20 picks.
You're right, and I will ride with Ryan Poles and I will ride with Jeff Mellor. It's not what I would have done, but at the very least, you picked the best punter in college football. You didn't pick the worst punter in college football.
Right. Yurko, I know Yurko hates when, especially me, when anyone speaks for him, but especially when I speak for him. What I heard him say was, there's very little difference between the best punter and the worst punter. There's very, very little difference in the NFL. So why reach with a draft pick between those guys? When you can, they're a dime a dozen. You just pick a guy, you roll with that guy. You can't name anybody in the NFL who's a punter. No one knows a punter's name.
Could you name five guys? I could not. No, I could have named.
A caller called in and tried to do that. One of the names that he had, Tressway, is probably one of the names that I would have rattled off. But no, I would not have been able to name five.
Do you know who led the NFL this past year in overall average?
No.
Gross average.
No.
Ryan Stonehouse. Do you know who he plays for?
Ryan
Stoner.
I don't know who Stonehouse is.
He's got a stoner boner in he's there, obviously, Patriots, because right? He loves that's him. No, he's from the Tennessee Titans.
Okay.
Mr.
That
punter.
Didn't help did
he
much.
Was he never a Patriots punter?
That I don't know. I can't tell you the lifespan of a Ryan Stonehouse. No, he's played 2 years with the Tennessee Titans.
This is what we do, though. We get the Bears start getting good.
Yeah,
and they add a gadget special teams guy. They did it with Hester.
Brian Anger, do you know who he punted for last year?
He was on Jacksonville. Is he still on?
He punted for Dallas last year.
You should do punter or not a punter. We should play that game. Punter and just rattle off names, because I don't. None of these names ring a bell for me.
Phil Breckenridge.
That is not a punter. It's a ski lodge.
Would you know who Braden Mann punted for?
Not a clue.
That is the Philadelphia Eagles.
No. See, this is, and that's your coach's point.
AJ Cole. Do you know who AJ Cole?
He was the Raiders at one
there
point.
There you go.
Here's the thing.
How about Logan Johnson? Do you know who he was punting for?
No.
Take a guess.
Logan Johnson punts for the Houston Texans.
Nobody. I made that up.
Oh!
you know who Bears fans do know, though? Trenton Gill. Because yes, he was bad last year.
I wouldn't have known his first name. I knew he was Gill.
He was bad last year.
He was drafted, too, by the Bears, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think was he was a sixth round pick?
Yeah, yeah. Sixth or seventh? So that went swimmingly. But
All right, we're going to ride with it, okay? I get it.
Here's,
I wouldn't have done it.
Here's the results of the poll. This shows you the Kool-Aid is flowing.
Of course. Bears personnel could take a dump on the third floor next to Yurko's car.
Which is good.
And we'd build a shrine around
but
it.
But I'm here for that. We've had too much.
Absolutely.
As John, Josh or John Schifrin? John Schifrin?
I think so.
John? He said, as the haters, like, we've had too many haters.
Yeah.
So, so I'm here for love. I'm here for love, not the haters.
Who does Rigoberto Sanchez punt for?
This is one of the callers said, but I thought he got that mixed up with Rodrigo Blankenship, who is the kicker for the Colts.
Is Rigoberto Sanchez is also a kicker for the Colts. He's their punter.
Wow, they have a Rodrigo and Rigoberto?
Yes. I think they fired the other guy.
I was going to say, I thought kicker. Rodrigo got cut.
Yeah, I think they told
fired,
him.
They fired
take
him.
Take your spec racks or your rec specs and get out of here. I think.
He was supposed to be a generational guy when he came out.
Really?
Weren't they talking about him when he was a freshman?
He got a lot of love, but he was never
By the time it became time to kick in the NFL... Oh, they had soured.
I think Roberto Aguayo kind of killed that for any future kicker.
Oh, really?
At this point, yeah.
Where you couldn't project if they would be a great NFL kicker.
Bradley Pinion. That's the opinion
inside
the five.
Pinion steering.
Bradley Pinion?
That's
for
fake.
Who?
You just made it up.
He's the kicker. He's the punter for the Atlanta Falcons.
Damn it. They're a mess, too. Wait till we play some sound from that.
Not going to lie. I think I have more invested in now. Torrey Taylor being good for the Bears than Caleb Williams. Me personally.
Oh, stop it. Now you're going too far.
No, I'm saying I want Caleb Williams to be generational, but I think I'm more tied now to Torrey Taylor.
Miller's got a web poll question out there. Aside from Torrey Taylor, what was your Bears' favorite draft selection?
Which of Ryan Poles' picks was the best?
Yeah.
Aside from Torrey Taylor.
Aside from Torrey Taylor. So 35 people voted, 3,500, not 35 people. 3,500 people voted within the hour. You can vote on my Twitter handle, at Waddle and Sylvie. It's brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers, Toyota Let's Go Places. And I was considering how to phrase this. First, I thought, are you okay with it? Are you fine with it? But I go, let's go all in on this. Are you happy? Are you happy the Bears drafted Torrey Taylor? So I went to the top here. Are you happy that the Bears drafted Torrey Taylor?
No, I vote no.
No. And 86.3% of the people say yes.
What'd you vote?
Happy's very strong.
Well, it was your word. That's what I mean. I would not have considered happy.
How would you vote on your own web poll?
No.
Happy's too strong for me. I'm fine with it. I think I'm fine with it.
I wouldn't have done it, but I'm not going to rage against it.
I'm happy with most of the other picks. I'm fine with it, and I think it will make it more interesting. I think it's going to make Hard Knocks. I really think they're getting Hard Knocks. How are you? How is this team not getting Hard Knocks with Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze and Keenan Allen on his first team other than the Chargers? The Bears on the up and up. And, oh, by the way, Jonathan Owens is coming to this team. And his wife just so happens to be one of the most decorated USA athletes who is going to be competing in her last Olympics in Paris while his training camp is going on. You know that's going to be interesting access while he's watching her compete. Think about all these stories that's going on. Now they got this Australian punter that they drafted in the fourth round.
Miller, what's his nickname? Does he have one, or would you like to give him one?
I'm sure Taylor. He does. I don't know it, though. Aside from Weapon, what else do they call him?
Thunderfoot?
Underfoot from Down Under?
You got to do something with Australia, I think.
Thunder from Down Under?
Thunderfoot from Down Under.
Yeah, there's been a lot of thunder from down under, hasn't
it's
there?
Usually that's male taken? Dancers.
The Thunderfoot.
People
from
call
down
him
under.
The Crocodile Punter.
The Crocodile Punter. I'm telling you, the Iowa fans, nonstop.
Yeah. Well, what? They've got no quarterback to talk to you about. They are going to talk to you about. He was the best punter in college football, and he was the only thing that you'd go to an Iowa football game and really enjoy from the offensive perspective.
Chris is in Washington. He's on ESPN 1000. What's up, Chris? Chris. It says he wanted to defend the punter. People were mad. I got some tweets saying that they were mad at Carmen and Yurko for whining too much about the punter.
Yeah, I think that's...
Let me see. Are there anybody else on the punter? Let me go to Clint in Des Moines. Here's a guy from Iowa.
All right.
What's up, Clint?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You tell us.
Got Cappy and Hood this morning gave the best stat in defense for why this punter draft pick is excellent. 1 yard of net average on a punt equates to over 7 points over an entire season. Trenton Gill last year averaged 37 yards a punt. Torrey Taylor averaged over 43 yards a punt. Equate that over a season, 6 yards, 42 points over a season.
Okay. Let's have the real conversation here.
Waddle, you can't argue with that.
That is. Nobody is suggesting that that isn't accurate math or that it's not an issue that needed to be addressed. What people are going to say is maybe you didn't need to spend a fourth round pick to upgrade that position when you still have other issues.
I can understand it, but okay, at the same time, with three phases of football, you have to make sure all three phases are secured, and it's not just a punt returner and a kick returner on specialty.
I am totally good with that.
It is lockdown.
Again, you're ignoring what I'm saying. The question here is can you upgrade the punter or the punting on your football team without spending a fourth-round pick, which is high draft currency, especially for a team that still doesn't have the luxury of ignoring other positions. That's the discussion. Not do they need to be better punting the football. The answer to that is unanimously yes.
That's fair.
Okay.
What do you think? I'm
obviously biased being from Iowa as an Iowa fan.
They're nuts about him. Thanks, Clint.
We are.
Yeah, and fairly so.
But what is that? Just as an aside, when you're over the moon about your punter.
It says your football team
offensively sucks.
It does.
It is in the dark
age. But they still, you have to admit, Iowa was still finding ways to win games last year. And how were they doing it?
Because their defense is good.
Yes, but how?
And the Big Ten sucks.
And they won a game last year, right? It was 7-3. They had two safeties and a field goal. And the safeties were set up by Torrey Taylor, pinning the opposing offense inside the five.
Okay, I got it, Mellor, but I'm going to give their defense more credit than I'm going to give their punter. The punter's going to get credit, but when you hold a team to 3 points over the course of four quarters at the Division I level in football, I'm sorry, I'm going to give their defense collectively a little more credit than the punter.
I want to counter this, and I want to know from you, think about this. What do you think Ryan Poles is smart? It doesn't mean Ryan Poles doesn't make mistakes, but this is a well-thought-out thing that Ryan Poles is thinking, too. So what do you think Ryan Poles would counter to you about this with the fourth-round pick? Why him and not what you're saying, a position group? I want you to what do you think he would tell you? And let's discuss that coming up next. Let's talk about the draft as a whole, Bears fans. What do you make of what they did? And not just in the draft. How far did the Bears come in just this offseason with Keenan Allen, with free agency, with this draft? And what are they set up to do in the 2024 season? Want to hear from you at 312-332-3776. Field Yates is going to join us at 4.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Waddle and Sylvie are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
I was always pretty confident that I was going to get drafted. It was really just a matter of how high and things like that. And, it's funny, my girlfriend's from Chicago. So I was like, oh, man, imagine the Bears use their pick at 122 and then go to, like, 115. I just said as a joke to my girlfriend, I was like, oh, only 7 picks away, but there's not many punters that are drafted high these days. And, yeah, it's just really an absolute honor to be a Bear. And I just can't really believe it, to be honest. It's crazy.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho.
Mellor is going to do a whole hype soundtrack for
I'm going to buy him a Torrey Taylor jersey when they come out. I don't know what his number is going
just
to be.
Just waiting. That's it for the number.
Yeah.
And then the other joke going around all weekend, you probably saw it too, is now that the Bears have Taylor Swift on their team.
Yes.
With Taylor and DeAndre Swift.
Yes.
Taylor Swift. So, look, it takes a Taylor Swift to win a Super Bowl these days. And the Bears could be headed that way.
Here's hoping.
Someone tweeted me and said, is he Legatron or was that somebody else?
That's good.
I think that was Greg Zuerlein. Yeah.
Greg Zuerlein is Legatron.
Yeah.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah, it's got to be something original. Yeah,
it's got to come from you, Mellor. It's got to be you. You got to be the one that's going to name him.
We'll workshop it.
Okay.
312-332-3776. So how would you counter? What do you think? You know Ryan Poles.
Yeah, I think a lot of him. I think he's done a fantastic job.
He's not just throwing a dart. How do you think he would counter you by saying, okay, we could get a player in the fourth round who's a player, or we can get the specialist in a punter. Why do you think him and his entire scouting staff elected to go with the punter?
That I don't know. I mean, listen, I think there's very little risk with regard to whether or not this young man is going to be good at his job. I think he will be. There's more risk attached to other positions. Like, he is the best at his craft that was available. He's the Caleb Williams of punters.
Well, the one thing, too, is with punting, there's not much that changes from the college game to the pro game. Like, except as the quarterback,
football.
The guy, what?
Except the football.
Sure, but the reality
just
is.
Inaccurate. I mean, I'm just.
But the reality is, like, as like projecting players to go from college to the NFL, at the other positions, you're playing bigger, faster players, right? It's just a huge change. Punting, you're essentially doing the same thing that you did at the college level.
And hence why I said there's very little risk with regard to whether or not he's going to be on your team and he is going to be your start. He's your starting punter. You use the fourth round pick on him, and he's the best punter in college football. He's going to be your starter. And listen, you can sell me all you want to. Special teams are important. Yes. Field position is going to be important. Yes, it is. I get all of that. I'm not suggesting you didn't need to upgrade yourself at the punting position. And I'm not going to rage against it. I'm just telling you, I would have gone somewhere else with a fourth-round pick.
Well, you know who we should get on is Durkin. Didn't Durkin punt?
I think he was a punter.
Didn't he punt for Illinois?
I think so.
Like, he grew up, of course, playing quarterback in high school and was good. But at a college level, he punted. He studied the Bears. I'm interested. I wonder what Durkin would say. I saw him this weekend. I got a story too, not about Durkin, but about the craziness that we experienced on a travel baseball. It's stupid.
Are some parents acting up?
No. It was Chicago Park District.
Do you have an ump show going on as well?
No. If you know, remember Thillens, I told you about Thillens. When growing up, I grew up in Skokie. We would go to a Thillens Stadium, which was like the stadium, was the Wrigley Field for Little League. We would go there once or twice a year, and it was awesome. They would have flags. They had a concession stand. They had music. It was awesome. And Braxton had a game at Thillens. Thillens closed years ago, and the Chicago Park District bought it. So I was very excited. Braxton had a game this weekend at Thillens on Saturday evening.
Walk down memory lane.
At 6. Very excited. And so it's now owned by the Chicago Park District. He was supposed to get there at 5 to warm up, game time at 6. Gates weren't open, locked, high gates, everything. So it's not like they could hop the fence and just get in. Supposed to play under the lights.
Oh, that's cool for young kids to play under the lights.
Yeah. And nothing.
No game.
6 o'clock shows up, still nobody. 6:15 shows up, still nobody. Chicago Park District just failed to open it up and to have a game.
Maybe they were doing a meeting on how to get the stadium done on the lakefront.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, no game.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I bet the boys were disappointed. I would imagine that they get pretty jazzed up to play under the lights.
Yeah, I was excited.
I know when we got a chance to do that as kids, it was great.
Yeah. Here's Rich Eisen on the NFL Network doing, and then I'll take all your calls on the pick. This is funny. This is when they picked Tory Taylor and then the analysis afterwards.
By the way, let me just say this. Let me just say this once again. Punters are weapons, too. This guy might have been the best offensive weapon Iowa had on the field, and that is not being a troll job right here.
I can't believe his leg didn't fall off.
I will just tell you this. He's one of the best out there. And the Bears saved the best for last. I know we're all focused on what they did with Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze. But Ryan Poles wasn't getting out of this draft without choosing Tory Taylor out of Iowa to make sure the defense puts Caleb Williams back on the field on the plus side of the field. And you want to talk about troll jobs. To have an Englishman say the word punter? Oh my goodness gracious, Ryan Poles probably doesn't even know what he's done.
And an Australian punter.
That right there is next level material out of you, sir. Well done.
Because the person who announced the pick was an Englishman. So that's what he was talking about. And then, like, the other thing that I would just say to you, like, again, I'm fine with it. I'm not, like, head over heels like Mellor, but I'm not against it like you are, is that the Bears' defense is good, like you were saying, with Iowa. So if they do pin him, I think it, that's all that polls would probably say, is he feels like it is a part of the defense with the punter now.
I'm glad they upgraded their punter. I just wouldn't have used a fourth-round pick. Which
do
is,
you guys think with the new kickoff rules, though, he might be in play for that as well? Someone who can do what he can do with the ball?
I don't know. It's just a question I'm asking.
Yeah, I mean, is that something that he did with Iowa?
I don't know. I watched his punts, not his kickoffs.
Well, you're the one that brought it up. I mean, I have no idea.
But with the new kickoff rules, they're going to be strange and weird. And every team
have to put it within a certain boundary?
Yes. And there could be
a certain area.
And now, there could be a huge advantage to that. But I don't know if he can kick off. So,
Ben in Dundee, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Ben?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
First-time caller, but long-time listener. I really appreciate you guys afternoons driving home.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
You know, I agree with everything everybody has said, but one of the things is special teams aren't important until they are important, when somebody shanks a punt or something like that. And I'd like to know what the percentage is of successful long drives when the punt is placed, you know, be within the 10-yard line or 5-yard line. How many times are those long drives successful? And if this guy can put the ball behind, you know, between the 0 and the 10-yard line, that reduces the chances, and with our defense, I think the odds are pretty good that, you know, it's a vital thing. And something that Waddle said months ago, and that is that Poles has earned our trust, and so far he has done, other than a couple of little glitches, he's done everything right. And at this point, just ride the wave and trust Poles and go with it. And I think it was an awesome pick, because even if you pick a lineman like Waddle said, you know, he's not going to get in every play. He's going to get in a few plays, whereas the punter is going to be out there, hopefully not that often with Williams, but when he is, he can be a vital, you know, part of this thing.
Ben, thanks. We were talking about this, like Danny said. Danny brought it up in a different context, and it was more about Eberflus. And he said, like, now that you trust Poles more, are you now second-guessing that you were questioning him about Eberflus? And I said, and this goes into what Ben was saying, you can still have trust with Poles while still wonder about specific moves. And I go back to Theo. Theo was as good of a general manager or architect as this town has seen in a long, long time. But yet, he still got Jason Hayward wrong. He still got his first two managers wrong. He never knew how to home grow a pitcher. There were many things individually that Theo did wrong.
But he got the vast majority of things correct.
So, like, we can still say Chase Claypool didn't work out. Velus Jones didn't work out. He may not get the coach right, but he is growing the team in the right direction for sure. But it still doesn't mean that you can't say, that pick may not be the right move here.
Sure. I mean, these guys, this is a very difficult job, whether it's baseball or it's football. And I think the vast majority of what Ryan Poles has done has been overwhelmingly positive. Look, if you want to get your panties in a bunch defending a punter, have at it. I'm not telling you that I'm hating on it. I'm just saying, and let's not lose sight, they had a great draft. They drafted the best quarterback in the draft, and they got, some would say I would say he's probably the second best receiver. I would have taken him over Malik Nabers. I do believe that Marvin Harrison Jr. would have been first on most people's list in terms of wide receivers. This has been a fantastic offseason for them.
Oh, it's been as good as we...
Yeah.
I mean...
If I suggest to you that I personally would have used their fourth-round pick on a different position and that gets you twisted, well, I can't help you.
A caller earlier, I told you guys this in the pre-show fist fight, had an interesting take. He said you basically traded Justin Fields at best for a punter. Because you traded Justin Fields to the Steelers for a sixth-round pick, which you hope will turn into a fourth-round pick. You used a fourth-round pick on your punter. Who would have thought that your starting quarterback would be worth less or the same as a punter?
I mean, those, I guess, accurately, you connect the dots correctly, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time thinking about that. I'm not going to dispute it, but I won't spend a whole lot of time thinking. Same way I won't spend a lot of time thinking about the fact that they used the fourth round pick on a punter. I can't wait to get up to Hallis Hall and watch rookie minicamp and watch the quarterback and the wide receiver get to work.
Carl in Lamont, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Carl?
Hey, how you guys doing? Appreciate what you do in the afternoon. It's a
Thank
fun
you.
Show. Hey, real quick, as far as the pick goes for the punter, just general thoughts on it. Obviously, he's the best punter in college football, so you know, I think it's a solid pick. They didn't have a lot of draft capital, and even if he had fallen to the fifth round, they still would have had to trade a fourth-round pick to come back up and get him. So one way or another, this year, next year, you're spending a fourth-round pick to grab him. Might as well strike while the iron's hot. Wanted to see what you guys thought on that.
What do you think, Waddle?
I think that a fourth-round pick on a punter is something that doesn't really excite me. It's standard. It's just how
Not
I feel about
change,
it.
No matter right. how many times we yeah. ask it.
The good thing about this one is that this guy was definitively the best punter in college football. If you're going to use a fourth-round pick on a punter, which I wouldn't do, you would use it on this guy. I'm going to ride with Ryan. This has been a great offseason, but I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
You would have liked a center in the fourth round.
Somebody, maybe an offensive tackle, another pass rusher, somebody.
John in DeKalb, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Johnny?
What's going on, y'all?
Everything's good.
You, John?
I am John. What's up, Waddle?
What's happening?
Not much, man. Look, the way they constructed this offense to be high-powered and explosive or whatever you want to call it, I think if you're going to go special teams in the fourth round, why not go find somebody kind of like a Tariq Cohen? Like, if you're going to make your impact on special teams and you're saying we're not going to punt that much, but our defense is dominant and we're going to force punts, why not go get a punt returner, somebody who's electric that gets back there and the whole city is going to be excited for them to step on the field and return a kick.
And a guy that could also maybe give you some snaps at running back or wide receiver. He's going to return punts and kickoffs. Yeah, I mean, that would be more along the line of what I would have thought.
Larry, you're on ESPN 1000. He's calling from Northern California. What's up, Larry?
Hey, what's up, fellas? I don't know if you remember me. I've talked to you a few times. But, yeah, I have a little different perspective on this to make it all summarized, you know. As far as the offseason, I think Poles make some great moves. But as far as this draft, I think it's going to be based basically on the pick of Odunze, which I like. But Caleb, as a day one starter, I see a 7 or 8-win season. I'm sorry.
Larry. Not with that talk.
Sorry. I see struggle. I mean, the guy, okay, let me just throw some numbers at you real quick. I mean, that holding the ball, 3.3 seconds average. He's not going to come to the league and just get that down to 2.5, 2.6 immediately, especially with what these D coordinators are going to throw at him, you know, the blitzes and stuff. He didn't do well against the blitz. He fumbled. He took a sack every 3.2 blitzes he saw in college. By comparison, Bo Nix took one every 11.4, and Michael Penix one every 12.4. He's got to adjust to that. He's got to adjust to, he took 88 sacks and 33 fumbles. Those are the numbers we ran Justin Fields out down for. I mean, the kid's going to have to come in and be willing to take some coaching. Okay, take his ego at the door, realize I need to get better, and fix those things. Otherwise, you know, I mean,
You don't think he will? Why do you think he won't check his ego?
Well, I don't know. Well, you listen to what he's been saying about, you know, I mean, I know he's confident, but there's a difference between confidence and cockiness. Now, maybe he thinks he's already good enough as he is. You know, I need to see him saying, I'm going to, and how quickly is he going to be? It's one thing to say you're going to change him, but when you're in the fire of it, you know how it is. It's not going to be so easy. I mean, you have to be able to get that ball out on schedule. You know, you have to be able to hit the receivers on time. You need to read and react. And I think he struggled with all those things in college. If you look at the numbers.
So, I'm more optimistic than you, Larry. You do make some points that are very valid. He's going to have to clean up the fumbles. You got to take care of the football. There's no doubt about that. Ball is going to have to come out quicker at the NFL level. We had problems with that the last few years. I have seen him play on time much more in the 2022 season than in the 2023 season. You compare him to Bo Nix and to Michael Penix. My guess would be that both of those quarterbacks had much better offensive lines in front of him. I'm not dismissing everything that he said.
He was being asked to play hero ball, and here, hopefully, he's going to be asked not to do that and will be coached up. And I think he does take coaching well.
Yes, and it's the one thing that I said to you I'm most concerned about, or the thing that I would watch most closely. It's not his personality, how he carries himself. Totally fine with who he is as a person. But he's going to have to play on schedule in the NFL more than he did in the last year. And he's going to have to be willing to be coached up by Shane Waldron and that offensive staff. And I think he'll be very receptive to all that.
Yeah, there's one thing. There's a couple of things. Two things that I expect.
Thank God we got away from punter talk, for Christ's sake.
Are you tired of it? You're like Carmen.
Oh, my God.
I'd rather lean into it. Like, let's get it all out of the way in one show.
Can we
have that as an agreement that we could get it all out? We could purge ourselves?
No, I refuse.
And then concentrate more on the offensive development?
I think we could do like you always bring up we could walk and chew gum at the same time. I think we can have punter talk and talk about the other stuff
as
well.
Then let's talk punters.
You know who you are, Waddle? You're an anti-puntite. That's what you are.
That's very anti-puntite?
Yes. Hate punters.
All right, 312-332-3776. If you want to weigh in, there are two things that I am demanding, for sure. Statistically. Yes, statistically in the 2024 season. Two things I want. I'll share that with you coming up next.
Listen to us now, live on the ESPN Chicago app. Listen to the show in HD at 100.3 HD2 FM. Listen now on ESPN 1000. This is Waddle and Sylvie, ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
Really excited about how the draft went this year. Everything fell into place. I would have never guessed that it would have lined up the way that it did, so we're all excited. A lot of hard work went into it, and it paid off for sure. And now it's time to start a new chapter for this organization.
I love that. I watched the press conference on, I think it was Saturday, Days Run Together. Him and Eberflus met the media after it all ended.
By the way, am I right? He looks fantastic with the weight loss.
They both look great.
Yeah, they do. I'm just saying. I think that Ryan Poles deserves a little bit more credit for his appearance.
Like, you think like too much is being given to Flus and Poles is being ignored.
I think Poles is in better shape physically right now. I think Eberflus maybe has, you know, this new fashion statement he's making, but I think Ryan Poles looks great.
Is it weird that their appearance has changed as the team has gotten better?
No. I think success has, you know, many residual perks. They've only won 10 games in 2 years. So I know. But they're pointing in the right direction.
I know. I heard Cap and Jay Hood talk about what was
Cap's soaking it all up.
Well, I know, but they were talking about, what was it, the 14-game losing streak? Like, that didn't that feel like so long ago?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't long ago.
No. In a short period of time, they've been able to change the way that most Bears fans feel about this team. And look, I would say the vast majority of people a short time ago wanted a coaching change. I kept saying, look, if you're going to upgrade guard, you're going to upgrade center, you're going to upgrade wide receiver, and you're going to upgrade quarterback, why wouldn't you look to upgrade the coach? They decided, Ryan Poles decided to move forward with Matt Eberflus.
Well, he's got to show that he could coach this team.
Absolutely.
The pressure's on him now.
Absolutely.
Two things I want knocked down this year. All right. Here are my two statistical demands. They've got to win to at least 10 games. They're set up to win 10, and that goes to coaching, that goes to player execution. And I want Caleb Williams to step in with this wide receiving core, with this skill group, to break the Bears' single-season passing record. Like, it goes to what the last caller said, that he doesn't think that he could do this or do that. I think with his skill and with what's around him, that he should be able to break Eric Kramer's all-time a passing mark of 38-38.
Okay, let me ask you a question. What if he throws for 37-90 and 28 touchdowns and they win 11 games?
Okay, I'll take it.
Okay.
You know, I mean, like, there's some nuance in there. But he should be able to...
Threaten it for sure.
Yeah, this is not... it's not a slow play here.
No.
With what's around him, with his skill, with the way this team is built, you should be able to come in. There's going to be down games, but you should be able to step on the gas and go here.
Too much is given, much is expected.
Yes, yes. And we'll ask Field Yates about Caleb Williams, about the Bears draft as a whole, where this franchise is, and did he agree with drafting a punter? We'll talk to Field Yates, who is all over the draft coverage this weekend in Detroit. He'll join us coming up next.